How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Walking in uprightness. All right. Everybody say, God help the preacher. That's a prayer you just prayed. And I believe the Lord's going to answer it. Heavenly Father, we now really invite you, invoke you, want you to know how desperately we want you, and ask you to send your Spirit that we may have understanding of things so critically important that our lives will be affected by your word. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Quick review. Last Sunday, we started the subject of uprightness because I consider it fundamentally important to discover what pleases God. Now, I have to tell you that I have given some study to what pleases my wife. And a smart man will do that. And he will not only get it figured out, but as much as lies within him, all the women should say amen by now. I mean, I don't know. That goes with marriage. Did you know that? You go to Corinthians chapter 7. He that marrieth a wife cares for the things of the world, how he may please her. So guys, y'all wives should be coming into church with big smiles. Because you need to know what pleases them. You need to know what pleases one another. You need to know what pleases. And if you can do it in conscience, you should. But what pleases God? Imagine that you get to bring pleasure to the heart of God, creator of the whole universe. I mean, Mr. Big. The ultimate cause of everything. You can bring pleasure to God. That is astounding to me. Well, one of the things that pleases him is what we're studying here. I know also, my God, that you try the hearts and that you have pleasure in uprightness. Uprightness, the absence of dishonesty, the absence of treachery or trickery, absence of insincerity, the absence of falsehood, the absence of pretension, absence of covert motives, hidden agendas. God has pleasure in uprightness. And that's what he watches for as he tries the heart. And then we learn that uprightness is better than riches. If we could, at the end of this service, have a big bag of diamonds, the best you can buy, and we said everybody could have a handful when you leave, you would not be as rich or as blessed in your life with a handful of diamonds as you would if you learned to walk uprightly. Better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that's perverse in his ways, even if he's rich. Well, quickly now, We understand that we need the uprightness of heart. God is looking for those to do good unto them that are of upright in their hearts, an uprightness in speech. I'm going to go quick now because we really get to need to new material here. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart. We need to be upright in our speech. He that walketh uprightly and speaketh uprightly. Scope of uprightness should include our speech. And by the way, back to this one for a moment. Because in a world of hypocrisy, there are those who still speak and walk uprightly. And one of the great rewards is thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Can you imagine that? And by the way, last week I had this reference and it's wrong. The right one is Isaiah 33. Okay. Imagine though that if you are upright, you get to see the King in his beauty. Now, this is plainly, dear friends, the exact same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People who are not upright cannot see God. They have a distorted version of God. They can't see God as he is. Because, why? Because without uprightness, all that unrighteous sin stuff blinds us to being able to see what God is really like. Then we need to be upright in our walk. He that walketh in is upright. And then we need to be upright when we judge, make decisions, adjudicate. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, making decisions, adjudicating issues with uprightness, no prejudice, absence of bias, based on an upright condition? Now, we started the benefits of our uprightness, and we got through 10 of them. Quick review on the 10. Number one, a person who has uprightness is delighted in by God. Oh my goodness. The upright in their way are his delight. Wow. God takes special delight in you. I tell you what. Working and striving seems there's no reward. Often. You can be. And you're looking for. Sometimes you have to look deep for encouragement to keep on going. Here's such an encouragement, is that your uprightness, though nobody applauds you, nobody gives you strokes, you know that God delights in you. And I tell you, dear friends, that behind the tie, and I won't show you behind the shirt, but it puts an exclamation mark right here on your heart, in your life, because you know that what you do brings delight to God. Can you think of an accomplishment as great as bringing delight to God? Uprightness does that. And then you're given special attention by God. His countenance doth behold the upright. He doesn't turn his face away from you. David, after his sin, God, don't turn your face away from me. Well, if you're upright, God's constantly giving you attention. An increased receptivity in your prayers. The prayer of the upright is his delight. God takes special notice. In fact, the sacrifice, whether worship or prayer, of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So those who do not walk uprightly, they may go to a church. They may sing. They may say all the things that genuine Christians say. By the way, you couldn't be a good hypocrite if you didn't go to church. Couldn't be a very good hypocrite if you didn't keep singing the songs. Couldn't be a very good hypocrite if you didn't still talk the talk. But uprightness. Ah, beloved, that's the test. That's the test. The wicked, it's an abomination to God. But the prayer of the upright is delight. And then we learned that God guarantees the prosperity of your household. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. But look at this now. But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. God wants your home, your household to absolutely flourish. Again, beloved, you know how hard it is to go through these and fast just to, because every truth, when I read it again, it's like it strikes a new fire in my bones. You know what I'm saying? But I'll work at it. And then if you're upright, you get defended by God. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. This word buckler means a shield. In fact, here's the Hebrew word, a protector, like the scaly hide of a crocodile. I could use that sometimes. And God says that if we walk uprightly, He is this protection for us. And then uprightness is rewarded by God. David said, I was upright before Him. Now watch what. Now he says, therefore, the Lord recompense me. In other words, God gives back to us in many different ways because of the uprightness that we have. And according to the cleanness of my hands, in His eyes, in His eyesight, how He sees. See? And then we're strengthened by the ways of God if we walk upright. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Ways of God to the upright are delightful and they build muscle. Now, this is kind of important. There are some times when the Word of God is not effective in a person's life. Did you know that? If you go to the parable of the sower and seed, remember? Some fell on good ground, some fell on stony, some thorny, some wayside. Not always was the Word effective. On the good ground, it brought forth 30, 40, 100 fold. Not always effective. In Hebrews chapter 6, we learn that the preached word did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in the hearts of the hearers. Right? But watch this now. Do not my words do good to him that walks uprightly? This is a rhetorical question, the answer which is an emphatic yes. The word of God effects, affects, blesses, produces those that are upright. Isn't that great news? I'm resisting. Keep going here because I got to get to new stuff. The upright can always see clearly. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. Seeing is really important. Just in the same way in which the upright can see God, the pure in heart can see God. Uprightness, because of uprightness, you are able to evaluate any group of circumstances and come to the right conclusion. The upright get a light in the darkness. And then lastly, last week we learned that the upright will never be without reliable guidance. We talked about the importance of guidance. More than guided missiles, we need guided men. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. You will never be without guidance. Okay, end of review. Ready to go now? For those who were last week, here last week, and I want to suggest to you, by the way, you can get a free CD of last week if you missed it, and get the detail. I only just gave you a quick review. All right. Look at this one. You will always have a sense of security. Look at this. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Your feet will not slide. You will not trip. You will have confidence. You will have a sense of security if you walk uprightly. Now, I don't know, let me ask you rhetorically, how important is security to you? How important is a sense of security to you? Do you know it's possible to go through this life and nobody will know this but you? It is possible to go through life with dread. It's possible to live this life with a gnawing sense of insecurity all the time about all kinds of stuff, and you don't even understand why. Why does this sense of insecurity follow me like a cloud everywhere I go? Now, the scripture says, the wicked flee when no men pursue. Beloved, those that walk uprightly have the essence in them that creates a sense of security. It is its absence of evil. It's absence of evil motive. It's absence of evil indulgences. It's an absence because we walk uprightly. We are honest, straight up before God. What you see, God, is what I am. And so, a tremendous, what price would you pay if you're an insecure person? What price would you pay to become secure? By the way, that's why you ought not to miss a seminar, because the first principle is vitally connected to your personal sense of well-being. But what price would you pay if you could have a sense of security? Do you know that most people go through life doing stuff in an attempt to feel good about themselves? Grabbing, clutching, grasping, earning, buying, promoting themselves. Everybody's trying to feel like they are somebody. That's why you really need to know what God is like, because when you know God, you'll discover that He says you really are somebody. You really are. Made in His likeness and created in His image. But see, the wicked can't see that. The upright learn, as you're going to see in a moment, the upright have the ability to achieve understanding. And the reason why most people are upset all the time is they don't understand what's going on. Their emotions are in turmoil. They are mentally questions, question marks everywhere. But not the walk upright. They walk securely. And then you'll be able to make proper decisions in advance. But as for the upright, he is able to direct his way. He's able to make choices. He's able to make decisions even before the crises may occur. The wicked man, when he's forced with decisions, hardens his face. Oh. This is what a hard face looks like. I'm sorry you have to look at me, but it was worse than my other one, right? It's like one guy said to his friend, I know you're not two-faced. How do you know I'm not two-faced? Because if you were, why would you wear that one? You can harden your face. I mean, people get tension. But not the upright. Because the upright, because they are upright, contain a guidance system and an understanding, a an ability, a criteria exists in the upright in order to make a proper decision. So he's able to direct his way. Instead of being a question mark, he's an exclamation mark. And then the upright will be able to stay on the path of life. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. Now, let me throw a little diagram up there that everybody that's been here knows. Here's the path of life. Now watch. Don't miss this diagram. I know it's a simple one. Here's the path of life. And this is you walking along the path of life. Watch this now. At various intervals along the path of life, you will encounter an evil man or an evil woman or both who will try to change your path and get you to go this way. That will happen to you 10,000 times. Some of them do it overtly. Some use various levels of techniques. Some of them do it subtly. Some people will pretend like they're, watch this now, they'll pretend they're on the path of life with you. They pretend they're on this, and then they'll make this turn and try to get you to make the turn with them. And by the way, what happens when somebody gets off the path of life? There's a number of things. First thing, and I wish I had a different color here, is that God sets up roadblocks. He does everything he can to turn you back, to get you back on this path going the right way. Watch now. If a person ignores the roadblocks, the resistance, and insists on going this way, then out here, eventually, are you ready? Is artificial Christianity. Christianity that accommodates evil. Now, I don't know how, dearly beloved, as we sit here this morning, I don't know what I could say or do to tell you that I am as dead serious could ever be right now at this moment. That this is the predicament, the religious condition of our day. This is the problem we've got. We have entire church systems operating down here, contrary to plain statements of Scripture. They have departed from the path of life. By the way, if you are, and I hope you are, interested in studying the Scripture, you want to trace through the book of Proverbs the word path and the word way. The way and the path. They refer to the same thing, the path of life. There's a lot in the Bible about the path of life. Now, let's go back here. Watch for a moment. 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times, somebody will try to get you off the path of life. What keeps somebody on the path of life is the righteousness in them that comes from being upright. The upright are not subject to tricks cons, enticements, temptations, diversions of wicked people. They stay on the path. Their righteousness, look at this, keepeth him that is upright in this way, the path of life. But if someone here has wickedness in them, and then they encounter an evil person here, guess what? They're overthrown by the sinner. I want to take this a little step farther because I am delighted that there are so many young people here. And this is really important to you, young person. Stay on the path of life. You know why? Watch the diagram with me. God, if you're a young man and you keep walking the path of life, God will have the right person intersect your path and meet you here. If you're a young man, it will be a woman, a mate for life. If you're a young lady, stay on the path. You see, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct path. Watch. God, if this is you on the path of life, God has so many delightful surprises almost at every turning of the road. He has got blessings laid up for you in abundance. He's got rewards. He's got delights. Because he delights in the upright. So whatever you do, don't let anyone means anyone get you off the path of life. You have to learn to say, and let me tell you, I know Mike won't mind me. I'm so excited about Mike and Travis, who both came to the Lord in the last couple of weeks. And Mike called me. One of his buddies came over with a six-pack or whatever. Mike turned him down. And the guy said, well, if you're not going to drink with me, there's not much point in me coming over here anymore. And Mike said, that's right. Now listen to me clearly. You must learn to be able to say, however kindly, but forthrightly, so that you are clearly understood. You must learn to say, if you don't want to go to heaven with me, I do not want to go to hell with you. That's the cost. All right. Amen. And so it is. Look at this. You will be able to stay on the path of life. Your worship, if you're upright, will be suitable and beautiful to God. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Now watch this, because this is really... Praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely means attractive to God, receivable, acceptable. And I didn't mean to do this, and I probably won't because of time, but I could take you into about a dozen verses right now that tell you that both prayer and praise can be an abomination to God. Did you know that? Think about a wicked person offering praise to God, maintaining his wickedness or her wickedness, but showing up to worship service, thinking that they are worshipers of God. Let me quote Jesus. I want you not to miss this. Here's what Jesus said: "The hour cometh and now is when they which worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth." If there is no truth in our lives, our worship, it's an abomination, it's disgusting to God. But, beloved, here is the great news to the upright. Doesn't matter what it sounds, doesn't matter if you've got a beautiful voice and can sing like the pastor. Doesn't matter about your skill level. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and your worship is beautiful to God. You know, a couple of Wednesday nights ago was a wonderful time. They asked me not to preach. I guess it was wonderful. They needed a break or something, but the reason was that they wanted to have a pastor appreciation evening, and so instead of, you know, I talked for a few minutes, but we had communion together. Delight. Let me tell you, some of the best things I received that night. I got cards, and a couple of people even brought gifts. Keep them coming. I like that. Let me tell you what I got. I got handwritten drawings from children in the church, giving an expression of. Now, if I were to take those crayon drawings and put them up beside a piece of artwork that I could buy for $15.95 at 5 and 10 store, which do you think is more beautiful? I'll tell you. A crayon drawing. Is there a mother in the place that doesn't know what I'm talking about? Your child brings you this scrap of paper with the coloring isn't even inside the lines, and it's purple when it's supposed to be hair. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? Of course not. It is so significant. Let me tell you something. Worship is not based on commercial ability. We have an industrialized church system today that prides itself in all of its technology and all of its skill and all of its ability to create beautiful sound. Let me tell you something. A piece of artwork could have the caliber of a Rembrandt and be rejected by God because of the wickedness of the author. In contrast, a sketch from a little child drawn with pencil and colored crayons that don't even make a solid line is his absolute cherished gift. To make worship acceptable with God does not require amazing abilities. But sincerity and uprightness of heart. You know, that's an encouragement to me. I don't know about you, but that's an encouragement to me because, you know, we haven't hired anybody to come in here and do our worship thing and teach us to sound nice. We just get an old hymn out and we, well, Christy really helps, doesn't she? He sure does, and Heather, and Dee. You know what? We just get the song out there and we sing Amazing Grace or whatever the song is. And I tell you something, dearly beloved. Because of the uprightness of our hearts, that worship, that based on a human adjudication may come up real short. But before God, it's comely. Look at those people down there at 3949 Atlantic. I would assume that an intelligent person who was going to offer worship would want the worship to reach the person who is the object of worship. What gets worship up to heaven? What gets audience with God? Are you ready? Authenticity. What is that? Worship that's given in spirit and in alignment to truth. Truth in the heart of the worshiper creates uprightness. And uprightness creates receptivity in heaven to his worship. You know, y'all ought to be smiling and happy by now. By the way, I'm looking for an old poem called The Amen Corner. I have searched the internet, can't find it. Anybody knows where I can get it? I want to get that poem this week. Amen, The Amen Corner. A little off topic, but the reason I come to next Sunday morning out at the ranch and we sing in a tent and all that stuff and preach in the tent. I'm going to preach on old-time religion. And let me tell you something that's old time. As Amen Corners. Do you know the Bible instructs us to say amen to truth when we hear it? Yeah. Every time you hear something true come out of the preacher's mouth, you ought to say amen. If for no other reason, let the devil know whose side you're on. Israel was instructed to say amen. Together as a congregation. Anyhow, off subject. Okay, let's go back. Number 15. Was that all we are, 15? Now, if you walk upright, another of the benefits is that you will be a major contributor to the well-being of your city in which you live. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. All right, let me. This broken foot thing is a nuisance, and I hope you don't mind me wheeling back and forth here. I don't like to be back there when you're up there. I want to get as close to you as I can. The greatest asset in Jacksonville will not be discovered by searching the files of the Better Business Bureau or the Chamber of Commerce the greatest asset in Jacksonville, this may shock you, is not our industry. It is not our medical expertise, which we're thankful for. The greatest asset in the city of Jacksonville is people who are upright. That exalts city. Well, let's go to another scripture. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, uprightness is so important that it's in fact the additive that changes a person from sugar to salt. You see, the church has messed up its mission. We think we are the sugar of the earth. What makes the church go astray? When it tries to be sugar instead of salt. Well, let's sweeten things up a bit, folks, so we can attract those sinners. Let me tell you something. Never had the church so much power over the world as when it had nothing to do with the world. Somehow, 35 years ago or so, we adopted a new strategy to reach the lost. Golly, we went some really dumb stuff. We had pastors saying, if you come, if you get enough people here, I'll swallow a goldfish live. Oh my. That would be a strange twist to Jesus' statement that they'll make you fishers of men. I mean, we did all kinds of stuff. Then we started to refine the stuff we did. Until now, you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. Because they think that world-likeness is attractive. We did this with our music. We developed what we call crossover music. Remember that? Crossover music. Here was the idea. Let's take gospel words and let's create sounds like the world likes, and the sinners will be like a bridge from the world to the church, and they'll hear our sound and they'll cross over this bridge and receive our message and become part of us. Crossover music. Well, we were sort of right in our prediction. People did cross over, but you know what? You know what? You know who crossed over? It was not the world that crossed over to the church. It was the people in the church started to cross over to the world. And we've been doing it ever since. And the church has been losing salt, has been losing the savor, has been losing the integrity, has been losing the uprightness. Jacksonville needs salt. Your place of business needs upright people. Because wickedness will overthrow the city by its mouth. I better keep going. I mean, you understand, this stuff is so pregnant in the scripture that it's just hard to move on. Let me go back there for a moment. Yeah. Put a little asterisk in your notes. An asterisk. Because I'm going to say something later that I'm going to have to put another asterisk by, and that'll tie it back to this number 15, okay. 16. Another benefit is that you give evidence of wisdom and understanding. Look at the scripture now. The man of understanding walks uprightly. Folly. By the way, this is interesting. We're going to do a whole teaching on folly. Critical subject of the Bible. A man of understanding walketh uprightly. I cannot tell you how important this is. In fact, 2 weeks today, if I ever get through this today, next Sunday we'll do the old time religion thing, and then the Sunday after that I'm probably going to teach on how to get understanding. It is a major theme of the Bible. Listen to the scripture. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is on the same altitude, latitude. It is as high ranking in the scriptures almost as wisdom is. So our subject will be how to get wisdom. Critically important. But a person who is upright will give evidence of both wisdom and understanding. Now, I can't tell you how important this understanding is. In Isaiah, it is a people, God's verdict on this people, it is a people of no understanding. They don't understand. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them. He that formed them will show them no favor. It is important to have understanding. Now, one of the problems, I don't know if you go down this road. Let me mention this. And by the way, we say a lot of politically incorrect stuff here. Because we're not the sugar. We're the salt. When you read what Sir Winston Churchill said about the Muslim religion, you will be shocked. He would not have a chance in our political system today, just like he didn't have a chance back then in his day, except that they couldn't do without him. No one, anybody else could take on Hitler. Nobody else. One of the problems we've got in Iraq is we're dealing with a people who don't have understanding. We thought we could just show them enough of freedom and enough of liberty and enough of democracy and enough of, and they'll get it. But they lack understanding. Understanding is knowing the cause and effect relationships between cause and effect relationships that affect a given circumstance. To know what's going on. Now, a person who is upright has understanding. A person who chooses to be wicked loses the capacity to understand what's going on. And life for them becomes a maze. As a people, no understanding. But with uprightness comes understanding. Now, the upright will possess their soul, their emotions, and their intellect. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way, that is the upright way of departing from evil, preserves his soul. Preserves his soul. Uprightness will preserve your soul. It will preserve, let me fill in for the word soul some equal definitive words. You will preserve your emotions, your psyche, your constance, your mental, emotional health is preserved by uprightness. Nobody will be able to rattle your cage. Nobody will be able to shake you loose. Nobody will be able to upset you. Nobody can emotionally damage you. Nobody can mess with your soul if you're upright. Because uprightness brings together in your being the key ingredients that prevent damage from within or damage from without. You preserve your ability to feel properly. Your emotions will be intact. You will be mentally and emotionally stable. It comes from uprightness. Yeah. Oh my. You will possess good things. Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. Watch this real quickly. Remember the diagram? This is the path of life going this direction. And you're walking this path of life. Now watch this. And you meet an evil man or an evil woman. You may not meet them. They may be relatives. They may be people who you work with. They may be at the place of business. Watch. Watch now. So this evil man causes you to get off this path of life and go in a wrong direction. Look at what happens to him. He shall fall himself into his own pit. The trap he set for you will get him too. Huh? Now watch this. But the upright shall have good things in possession. You won't have to live a life of covetousness because you will possess some good stuff. Comes to the upright. God will not withhold good from you. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. We sing this one, don't we? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Eh, remember that song? Yeah. Imagine the beloved, stare at the scripture for a moment. Receive this truth. Let it penetrate your mind and your spirit with some closure. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The only thing God will withhold from those that walk uprightly It's bad things. Evil things. Oh, all of it is... Hey, listen to this scripture. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? If God has given the most precious thing to you, which was his son, what is something else by comparison? Do you think God would hold something worth 50 when he's given you something worth a billion? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, should have camp meeting here. Now, moral uprightness secures your residence. I want you to catch this now. And I'm going to take you to a different window. For the upright shall dwell in the land that is his, the property that is his. The perfect shall remain in it. Now, I want to take you to, let me see, that's Proverbs 2:21. Oops. Let's go to Proverbs 2:21. Here we are. The upright shall dwell in the land. Now, watch this. I want you to see the scriptures before this, all right? Watch here now. So we're going back to 20, 19, 18. Remember I drew the path of life and said there are evil men or evil women. The Bible, Proverbs deals with both of them. Now, well, this happens to be with the evil woman. Well, let's go back one more verse. That's why they call this everlasting gospel. I could preach on this forever. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Woman to whom you're not married. Even from the stranger, the strange woman, that flatters with her words. She has forgotten the guide of her youth. She has forgot the covenant of her God. And her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now watch this. That instead, you may walk in the paths in the way with good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Now watch this. Then we get to this text. For the upright shall dwell in his land. This uprightness referred to here is the man that overcomes morally evil men or evil women. This is why everybody, before he reaches the age of 12, should be taught the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is the curriculum for families. And by the age of 12, and I choose 12 because of the Jewish context, by the age of 12, a young man should be thoroughly prepared to avoid evil men and evil women. To be able to identify. That's why you need to memorize Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 9. Those four chapters will keep you from evil men and evil women if you memorize them. Moral uprightness has a lot of benefits to it. Probably hundreds. But one of the benefits is that your house, your home, your real estate, your land will be secure. You will dwell in it, and that nobody will take it away from you. Nobody on the outside can get in and damage it. The upright have an awareness of the presence of God. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, O Lord. Now look at this. And the upright shall dwell in thy presence. I don't know about you. I personally think emotions are very important. And I know that there are people who try to get emotion out of church. But if you got no emotion, you'll have no motion. But if you have emotion, you'll not only have motion, but devotion, promotion, locomotion, and maybe even explosion. If you haven't got some, you should get some. The ability to feel. Now, you need to understand that emotions were never given to us as a guidance system. Emotions are not a guidance system. We are guided by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, not by emotions or feelings. But if you are guided by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you will eventually get emotions that will catch up to the guidance that you got from God. And you will have great feeling about God. Now let me tell you something. In the New Testament, it talks about those who happily feel after God. I want you to catch this now. I think feeling God's presence is important. Now, even when I don't feel it, it's still, I mean, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I ascend to the heaven, behold, thou art there also. They're always in the presence of God. But it is wonderful to feel his presence sometimes. When I talk about feeling the presence of God, I'm not talking about creating an artificial feeling that simulates God's presence. Let me be clear about that. The purpose of music in the church is not to create mood. We don't have to create a feeling of the presence of God if we're upright. The upright have an automatic consciousness of the presence of God. I like that bumper sticker. If God seems far away, guess who moved? But see, the upright haven't moved. The upright are walking before God. And the ability to feel the presence of God is born out of their ability to walk uprightly. Oh, beloved, I want you to feel God. Not artificially. I don't want to come in here and some contrived measure manipulate you into a false sense of the presence of God. But I do wish for you. I do long for you. That when you're driving down the road in your car or walking the street or wherever you are, doing whatever you're doing, that you can instantly sense the presence of God. And that only comes to the upright. In the same way, it's the upright that see God, the pure in heart that see God. It's the upright that can sense His presence. They dwell. They never have to do something to get back to the presence of God. It is the continual awareness. They're in the presence of God. And I tell you, you know, my lady and I were sitting, chatting. I guess it was at the supper table last night. And we started to talk about how lonely you can be on this planet. This can be a really lonely place. And the sense of loneliness can become exaggerated by the loss of a loved one or the departure of a loved one or a friend that quit being a friend, who obviously, if he quit, he never was a good one. By a divorce, loss of relationship can make you feel really lonely. It is possible to be married and still feel lonely. Did you know that? Because you should not expect your mate to fulfill all your need or sense of presence. They cannot take the place of God. The loneliest people on this planet, are those who don't know God. You see, you can be alone without feeling lonely. Did you know that? You can be alone without feeling lonely. You can be in a crowd and feel lonely. You can be in a crowd and feel lonely. Let me tell you what the solution to loneliness really is. And we used to sing about it. Remember those old camp meeting songs? I'll never be lonely again. Never again. Yeah. I really dated myself, didn't I? See, younger people never even heard that song before. And if you heard it, how many have heard that song before? You're afraid to raise your hand now because you go date yourself. We understood it back in the old days. Never be lonely again. You know, why is that? Because you now have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You have somebody who has made an eternal promise to you. Listen to it. I will never leave you and never forsake you. Lo, I am with you even unto the consummation of the world. Never lonely. The upright dwell in the presence of God. Their soul is fed by uprightness will affect your children. Now, I want to say a couple of things as sensitively as I know how to say them. And I'm talking right now to parents. I alluded to this on Wednesday night. One of the greatest tragedies, would be the right word, of our day is the abuse of children. And children are abused in a number of ways. Desertion, that's pretty abusive. That's why the best thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother. Did you get it? Because the hurt, it can be covered. It may not show up sometime. Children can be abused by emotional manipulation. They can be abused, physically abused, of course, sexually. We are living in a day. No, I got to talk to you about this. There's an agenda in America to reduce the age of consent to 12. I'm referring here to sexual relationship between adults and children. In Europe, in the Scandinavian countries, and they have already got the age group lowered. The goal of this agenda in America is to eliminate, so that there will be no age of consent. There will be no such things as statutory rape. The abuse of children is escalating worldwide in westernized countries. And in fact, to talk to you about it in a public forum such as this is almost makes me nervous, because the facts, they are the facts, but they are almost facts that we don't need to hear. On the other hand, it would be a spiritual danger to put our head like the proverbial ostrich in the sand. Children, let me quote the scripture. Here's what Jesus said. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better that a millstone should be hung about his neck and should be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And he was holding in front of him, when he made this speech, a child. It's better we stop the meeting and find out if there's somebody here who's going to offend children. And let's all take them down to the St. John's River and tie some cement blocks around their neck and put them, let's do this lovingly, put them in the St. John's River. It would be a kinder act. It would be better for that person to have the cement anchor and be cast into sea than to be allowed to offend children. Now, beloved, I understand the grace of God, and I know that he says he's going to be a father to the fatherless, and that is so delightful. But let me tell you something. Children are being damaged by adults, by what they say, by their actions, what they do, by the terrible example we set for children. We damage our children by treating our husbands and wives the wrong way. Children can be damaged in a thousand different ways. But I want you to see something in the midst of that ugly black background that I've just painted. That if there is one upright parent, your seed, children, shall be mighty on the earth. Look at it now. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Children, be grateful if you have an upright father or an upright mother, or better still, an upright father and mother. Because God has made a commitment to you. He's made it really to your upright parent. He's saying, your seed, your children, that's who the seed is, will become mighty if you're upright. Yes, the generation, that specific generation of the upright shall be blessed. I don't know about you, but I could have a little camp meeting on my own right now. And I could shout amen for 10 minutes and say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, beloved, I want you to catch this. This is one of the benefits of being upright. Glory to God. The upright will be delivered from evil. Another benefit. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. But transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Uprightness has an ability to keep you on the right path. Look at this. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for the blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. I'm fighting the clock a bit here because I really need to get this one done today. Are you okay for another 10 minutes? How many are? Let me see your hand. The rest of you? Yeah, let me tell you the first ingredient about love. How many here love the preacher? Let me see your hand. Okay, you're the ones that are going to heaven. That's what it takes. It takes love. It takes love to get there, right? And let me tell you the first thing about love that we learn in 13th chapter of Corinthians. You ready? Love suffers long and is kind back to the one who's the cause of the suffering. So, all right. The mouth of the upright. Now watch. I want you to see the scripture. The words of the wicked. Oh, they snap prayers. They damage to the level, to the blood level. But not the upright. See, it's talking here about words. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now this them here is referring not merely to the upright, but it includes them. But the upright person gives and dispenses out of his mouth the kind of stuff that has the ability to salvage those to whom they speak. So you show me a young man who walks uprightly, and I'll show you a man that when he talks to peers, is dispensing. They may not listen. They may not hearken. They may not follow. That young man is giving out the stuff and the substance that can deliver those peers. You'll be delivered from evil. Look at this. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Uprightness will save you from 1,000 disappointments, 10,000 hurts. Uprightness will save you from being a damager, an abuser. You will be delivered from evil. Now, this is Mark Charbonneau's favorite verse. He loves the first four words. And he changes the punctuation and he says, Mark, the perfect man. You know, I've heard him quote that a gazillion times. But look at this. Mark, the perfect man. Now watch this. Behold the upright. You know why? Because here's one of the big benefits of being upright. The end of that man is peace. Behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Hallelujah. Peace is a good thing. Beats turmoil by a long shot. Peace. Let's look at another verse. He shall enter into peace. They will rest in their beds, each one that is walking in his uprightness. Uprightness creates a rest and a peace. We're getting down to the hitching post here almost, but let me just make a couple of comments about this one. Let me talk to the men first. You men? Your uprightness is central to the well-being of your marriage, your family, and the blessing of God in your home. Men, don't let any perverseness, which is the opposite to uprightness, I'll give you another word for that, crookedness, less than honorable biblical ways of dealing with something, take away your uprightness. Uprightness is not lost carte blanche, like, you know, all at once. There's an issue or two issues that will occur in a family, in a marriage, in a business. And the temptation is to compromise. That compromise causes a loss of uprightness. In a world of compromise, some men don't. I say, oh God. Ladies, don't work against the uprightness of your man. Don't hold him hostage. Don't emotionally manipulate him. You encourage him to pay the cost. I'm going to show you that in a moment, what it costs. Stay upright. Because the end of that man is peace. And trouble will not visit your family if that man stays upright. Hallelujah. Upright. Have got a lot to look forward to. The Lord, I love this, He knows the days of the upright. And their inheritance shall be forever. The upright get an eternal inheritance. The upright are those for whom God is planning eternity. Got big plans for you, upright. God got big plans for you. His plans, you know, the answer to the question of why are we here on planet Earth, let me give you the quick answer. We're here on planet Earth to get ready for the life after this one. Have you got that straight? You need to know that right up front. The plans of God aren't just for this time. It's a preparation for the big. I mean, he's got big plans. Oh, I love what the hymn writer said. In mansions celestial, an endless delight will ever adore him in heaven so bright. Got big plans for you. Eternal plans. And for him to carry out his plan in the universe. And on other planets, and other galaxial systems. He got big plans out there. Yeah. People ask, is there life in other parts of the universe? Absolutely. Angels, seraphims, cherubims, all kinds of them. All the bad ones have been cast down. They were all kicked out of heaven. The bad ones aren't out there anymore. How do we know that? Because so thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. The will of God is being done out there in the heavens. And you and I are going to get to participate because he's got such big plans. This is an enlistment camp. And he's looking for the upright. And when he finds one, the delight of the Lord is in the upright. Oh, my blessed Lord. He intends to take us from here on into his universe to rule and reign with Christ forever. Big plans. Oh, don't miss each phrase of Romans 8. Check this now. He's made you to be an heir. Are you ready? And a joint heir with who? Jesus Christ. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. He is watching for a people who during the 70-year tenure here will come into uprightness and understanding and be willing to participate with him and his celestial intentions. The upright shall receive an inheritance forever. Look at this. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Isn't that wonderful? The upright shall not be ashamed in the evil time. The wicked shall be ashamed. Shame is not nice. You know, there's 1,000, yea, there are 10,000 things I love about Jesus, but let me tell you one more of them. That when Jesus saves a person, that is, he cleanses him by his precious blood. He takes out of him every sin that existed, and he puts it out of existence. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus' blood not only washes away your sin, but Jesus takes away the shame that attended the sin. That's why little harlot Greek girl selling her body for pennies on the street corner, living in abominations and degradations, but she gets to Jesus one time. And all her sins get wiped away with his own blood. Oh, that's what it says in the wall, etched in 24 karat gold out there. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings. And he takes this little woman of the streets and he cleans her up and he makes her pure. And she will be able to walk with her chin up the rest of her life because Jesus takes away the shame. Because what she once was, she is no more. Oh, don't you love the Savior? Don't you love this Savior? The upright shall not be ashamed in evil times. And look at this. In times of famine, the upright shall be fed. Quickly, let me show you the cost of uprightness, and then with this I'll close. Number one, you will be mocked by others. That's the price. Are you ready? I am as one mocked of his neighbor who called upon God, and he answered him. The upright man is laughed to scorn. This, you better believe, this is built in. I'm giving you the fine print, big size right now. If you are upright, people want to take it down. They want you to become like them. They will mock. They will make fun of your pure. They'll call you holier than thou. They'll mock your righteousness. They will scorn your uprightness. Number two, you will be hated at times because of your uprightness. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but those who are just will seek for your soul. Now watch this, because I want to add another phrase to this. You'll be hated at times, especially in politics. The greatest need in the political system in America right now is uprightness. Washington needs, nobody should get elected or sent by the American people to Washington who is not upright. In every dealing. Now watch this, because America faces an unusual test. Here it is. God gives a people a government for which the people qualify. If you have an immoral people, you're going to have an immoral government because immoral people are going to elect immoral people. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? What we've got in Washington, be careful about pointing your finger at those in Washington because they are merely a reflection of the population of America. And this is true, by the way, and if I had time to take you through a political analysis as presented by the scripture, I could show you that even in every kind of regime that exists around the world, the people deserve what they got because God superintends governments. And he watches over to assure that the people get what they deserve. Now, I've got time to take you there this morning. But let it be suffice it to say that this is true in any kind of system of government, and it is particularly true in democracy. We're a voting public, put representatives there, because those people really do represent us. You have a nation of without understanding, you will have leaders without understanding. Now watch this. You put an upright person in a political situation. Here it is in Scripture. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Now, this key phrase, those of you who have been here for a while, know about the teaching on speaking in the gates. The gates refer to the gates of the ancient cities that controlled who came in, immigration, who went out, controlled what products came in, imports, controlled what products went out, exports. They controlled the rule. They control everything that comes in. Their tariffs, everything else, were controlled at the gates. The importance of understanding the gates in the scriptures is really important. They are the control centers of cities. That's one of the tragedies of Sodom and Gomorrah, is we had a man who was just, but he wasn't upright. And his name was Lot, and he sat in the gate. He sat in the political structure, but he had no influence for God. Now, watch this, because if you speak in the gates and you're an upright man, you'll be hated. Because an upright man, when he speaks in the gates, who speaks uprightly and rebukes in the gate, because the chances, this is a gate where the gatekeepers are basically not upright. They are on the take. You know what I'm talking about? Bribes. Yeah. They don't do what they do there because they represent us. They do what they do there because the other companies are lobbying them and they represent companies instead of the people. So now you put someone in there who speaks uprightly, they'll be hated. Lastly, they will be persecuted by the wicked. There's the price to pay for being upright. The wicked have drawn out the sword, they have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of an upright converse way of life. You'll be persecuted by the wicked. But let me tell you, beloved, if you looked at the cost there, and I hope you did, it's far outweighed by the benefits. I believe that the Lord, challenge of the Lord to each of us today is to walk uprightly before him in our hearts, for one another, in our speaking, in our adjudication, our making, our decision making, we walk. Would you bow with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, oh Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for these people that are in attendance this morning. I see young men here that I somehow, God, I pray that you'll raise them up, not just to be men, but to be men of God, not for sale. Can't be bought by trinkets and tinsel and junk in the world, not for sale. Young men who'd rather die than sin. Young men who can't be bought. So God, raise up the young ladies here as well. Thank you for them. Thank you. And we as adults bowed before you this morning. Once again, ask you to search our hearts. And if there be any wayward way in us, show it to us that we might get rid of it immediately, expeditiously, so that we will always walk uprightly. In spite of being mocked, in spite of being hated, in spite of being persecuted, we want to stand before you clean in your eyes. This I pray on this people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.